Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Hey everyone, this is BT, and welcome to Inside the Episode. Today, David and I are going inside episode 202, How to Break Up with Your Parents. So if that title doesn't grab you, I don't know what will. So here we go. So first and foremost, David, with this episode, I would say that this is an episode about setting proper boundaries.
Yeah.
So I guess the question I want to lead with is, how do you emotionally get to a place where it's okay to break up with your parents?
How do you
like
get
how them? Like how do you get there emotionally? Because I'm thinking about, I've had some pretty frank conversations with my parents ever since meeting you, and you've gotten me to a place where I'm able to have those conversations.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to figure out, like, for someone out there who's just maybe relatively new to you or who has been struggling for years and know they have to take that next step, how do they get to the place emotionally where either it's okay or whether it's essential to do so?
So I think that a person needs to sit down and they need to seriously, honestly ask themselves what they want their life to be about. Any time that we're breaking these traditional taboo paradigms in our life, parent, you know, breaking up with toxic parents would just being one of them. What would cause a person to think about doing such a thing? And I think that it comes to asking yourself, what do you want your life to be about? What's interesting is that before somebody suggested that I do that, sit down and think about what my life to be about, I never really thought about it that much. I thought about, what do I want to do in my life? Where am I going to go to work in my life? Who's my spouse going to be in my life? What would my kids, would I have kids? What would my kids be like in my life? I never really thought about, what do I want my life to be about? How do I want to live my life? How do I want my days to go? This is a choice that every human being has. It's an individual choice to determine how we're going to live. Even in situations where some people have been, somebody has taken control over our life. You could have, for a person who's incarcerated, for instance, or a person who's living under an oppressive government, how they show up every day is entirely up to them, for the most part. It's one of the things that we learned from Viktor Frankl in Man's Search for Meaning. You know, interned in a Jewish concentration camp, you know, he decided how he was going to show up every day. So we have this ability to do that. Yet most of us take life for granted to such a degree that we don't sit down and determine, who are the people I want in my life? What kind of relationships do I want to have in my life? How much joy do I want to allow in my life? How do I really want to live my life? What we end up with is the burden of paradigm or belief that is passed on from one generation to another. In order to be a good person, you must, whatever realm of bullshit that people spread from one generation to another, that becomes a very warped sense of being because somebody said that this is the way that it should be. Without challenging that thought, we don't have the choice of thinking of something different. And you see this with a lot of people. Like, before somebody ever says, hey, you know what? You have a choice. You don't have to put up with that. They live within the paradigm of extremely toxic parents that are ruining their lives or ruining their kids' lives or, you know, ruining their own life. And you're sitting there watching them do it. You have a choice. But you have to consider the alternative in order for that choice to really come to the surface, so we can, you know, we can see the fullness of it in a way where we're asking ourselves the right questions and we're exploring hard answers. Like, I may have to walk away from this relationship with my parents because it has just become so toxic and intolerable. If I'm going to live my life, I can't do it.
Yeah, and I like how you bring choice into that too, because it made me, while you were talking about that, I was thinking about how, you know, where I grew up, it seems like many of the people sort of followed in the footsteps of those that came before them. So you trace it back generation to generation. They did the same thing, whether it's, you know, working in the mine or working in the automotive, you know, garage or working as a construction person. You know, these people would follow because that was what their paradigm allowed them. And what you're saying, which I think is beautiful, is that you all have a choice. You don't have to follow in the suits of your parents. So many people do. I don't know if that's changed with this generation, because I feel like today's generation knows more about choice maybe than I did, but I didn't follow conventional wisdom. I didn't do what my parents did. In fact, my dad, you know, jokingly threatened to hit me with a hammer if I ever considered becoming a friggin' carpenter, because that was the life he lived. And it was a good, you know, relative life. He's very skilled at what he did, but he didn't want that for me because it was a lot of backbreaking labor. There's more for you. So kind of in a hindsight is 2020 way, he woke me up early.
Yeah.
But I think you see a lot of people who follow in the footsteps of their parents, and then they realize that maybe the toxicity is too much to handle. And one of the things that you said that was very interesting in that episode was, you don't owe your parents anything. You owe it to yourself to live your best life.
Correct.
And I thought that was genius, because more often than not, we feel like we are connected on some way that we have to take care of them and do everything for them, when you're not saying that at all. It's for you, right?
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. I think that was great.
Yeah. The rest of it, you know, and we read about it, it's just bad literature, actually. There's nothing, you know, you, every individual owes it to them. Like, here's the thing. Each one of us is unique in a way where we have special desires, gifts, talents, abilities, and it's to do something. It's to contribute in some way to life. All life contributes to life in some unique way. But when something in life that takes away from that natural contribution because it's dysfunctional in any form of life exists, that form of life becomes diseased. No different than when a tumor develops, like a cancerous tumor develops within a healthy human being. Then if we don't get it, the whole body becomes diseased, right? The tumor must be removed or killed or whatever, however they do it. It needs to be removed, otherwise it kills the host. People can do the same thing. Toxic people will infect toxic people, so they all die. And they all die miserable, right? Our problem is when it is somebody we love, when it's a parent. What is the lie that we believe that keeps us in the toxicity? Well, we owe them something. That could be one of them. Their blood, that could be one of them. The idea that we're supposed to take care of them could be one of them. People often misinterpret the Christian Bible, where it says honor the mother and father. Honor and taking care of are two completely different things. Honor being, these are the two individuals that brought me into the world. I honor that. I honor them for their own life. I don't have to agree with the way that they raised me. I don't have to tolerate abuse if they were abusive. I don't have to replicate dysfunction if they were dysfunctional. Those are very different things, as so are the good things, right? If you do replicate things that were functional, if you had a very loving and a productive child, those are all great things. But that word honor means something completely different. It means honor them for who they were and the fact that they brought you in. So there's almost, I'm grateful that they gave me life, that I came through them in this life form, right? But it does not have to go any further. There's even a scripture where Christ talks about you can't actually get close to him until you hate your parents. Now, I think what that means is because it doesn't say if your parents are toxic or if your parents are dysfunctional. I think it's in Luke if you're looking for it. I think basically what it means is that until you give up your parents having the authority over your decision-making process and you let God take authority of your decision-making process. I think basically, like, we get into a long diatribe around it, but I think basically for those of you that want to look it up and check it out, that's basically what it means, is that, you know, it goes with, thou shalt not put any other gods before me. You know, this is if you're coming from the Christian perspective, and I realize that there are many of you that are not, and I'm not trying to, there's no agenda here. But it is where a lot of people's beliefs come from. So that's why I'm bringing it up. That for many people, there are religious connotations to this. And we have to make sure we're understanding them correctly. Otherwise, you can, like anything else, there have been many people through history that have taken religion and twisted it for their own benefit and then used that in a way to damage other people or control other people or manipulate other individuals. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I was just thinking a little bit about when you were talking about at the beginning of that, about the toxicity around the parents and how you owe it to yourself to know when to either limit the contact or to take the drastic measures to cut them out entirely. And I think that's on a per person basis. We can't speculate here whether or not you should do one or the other or neither. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of people who have amazing parents who are supportive and allowed you to do what you needed to do. And they basically said, when you flew the nest, hey, fly little bird, it's on you. Yeah. And then there's other people who maybe try to convince themselves that, no, it's okay, I can go home 3 or 4 times a year and it doesn't seem to bother me. I realize I don't have a lot going in my business for 2 or 3 months afterwards. And my therapist will, you know, they'll go through this whole thing. But there is a time and a place when limiting contact with anyone in your life, whether it be parents, friends, neighbors, there's a point in time where you just have to be honest with yourself and say, look, this is not serving me. I need to set a boundary and move on.
Yeah,
I would assume. And there's a lot of people out there, because I don't want us to come across as, you know, I don't want anybody out there to think that my parents suck. You know, they're not, you know, I've had issues, of course. I think we all have. But at the end of the day, you know, one thing that you taught me very early on was to make peace with the fact that they did the best they could at the time what they were doing this. Yeah. And that helped me, because it's very easy to pile on after the fact. And I think we see this a lot more and more. That said, setting a firm boundary with your parents and say, I'm not open to having this conversation about X, Y, or Z, and I'm not going to succumb to your guilt or your shame that you're trying to pour on me, because at this point in time, you are a relative. And that's hard for people to hear. I'm sure some people are sitting out there saying, I don't believe what these two guys are saying. And that's your prerogative. But at the same time, think a little bit about how those relationships are serving you and just realize that there may be more to it than what you think.
So let me just say a couple of things. This message is basically designed for people that are struggling with whether or not they need to walk away from their parents. It's not an overall message for everybody to walk away from your parents from a relationship perspective. It's for the idea, if you have dysfunctional or toxic parents that are really causing distress in your life. We all need to walk away from our parents as far as our independence goes and choose the life that is right for ourselves. Now, you get beyond this a little bit. There's some basic truths here. One is that your parents, if they had dysfunction, they didn't come up with it on their own. It was passed down from one generation to another. And it either grows with every subsequent generation or it diminishes, depending on what that generation does with it. Do they get rid of the ignorance? Do they learn how to think different? Do they learn how to behave different? I had somebody respond to one of our videos that we did and say that nobody changes, right? And they said, how many people that go to your seminars actually change? And they answered it for themselves and they said, none, so cut the crap or something like that. And the idea is basically this. Change is not like a pill. It's not like an aspirin that you take for a headache. It does not cause the change. It gives a person direction to make a change. If a person does nothing with new information, if they don't do anything with the ignorance or the intelligence, it does nothing. You have to do something with it. So if a person takes good, positive information and they apply it to their life will change. It's cause and effect. It's not maybe it'll happen. It will happen. There's no question about it. But if we also choose, whether it's out of conscious choice or ignorance, to stay in the dysfunction that our parents, if we had dysfunctional parents, gave us, then we're going to exacerbate it in the life that we have. It's going to get worse from one generation to another. We want, if you look at overall issues that society has, a lot of them are generational issues. Those beliefs are passed down from one generation to another. If you don't question what your parents taught you, you never know, am I taking something that is actually destructive and moving it further along in life and in society, or am I a product of actually changing that? That's what it's about. And everybody has, you know, look, there's all some good and there's all some bad. But sometimes when the bad is really bad, when it's not going to change, when it's affecting our life in a very negative way, we have to make the decision to say enough is enough. And you go live your life the way that you want to live it, but I don't have to live it that way.
Yeah, and that's extremely powerful, and I like how you said that. One of the things that really helped me is you walked me through sort of a visualization where I had an opportunity to meet my 7-year-old father or my 7-year-old mother on the bank of the river and have a conversation with them. It's really a powerful exercise because it does put you into their shoes and realize that at one point in time, they were a child as well, and they were a product of their environment, and they perpetuated that environment and passed it along to me. And now it's my choice whether or not to pass that along to my children and then my children to their children and so on. So it just made me grateful for you to be able to walk me through that, because I was able to let go of a lot of resentment and anger that I had towards both my father and my mother and realize that they did the best they could. There's that again. Yeah. They did the best they could. Sure. And I think really at that point in time, I have limited contact with my dad. You know, he's like, I see him a couple times a year type situation, text on holidays, maybe a FaceTime on Christmas. I see my mom, same couple times a year. You know, we don't live in the same area. She's out west, I'm here. But at the same time, I feel like I have an okay relationship with them. I didn't have to officially break up with them, but I did have some conversations that weren't at the time received very well, but it was where I was at, and it allowed me to sort of go on my own path. And I think my mom was respectful of that. My dad was respectful of that, and it really helped. But I'm just saying all this because I was in that position as well. And I know you were in that position as well. And you've talked on the show often about the importance of setting healthy boundaries, you know, around your mom and being able to sort of release the attachment to that. And I think that was very important. And you were at a place emotionally, maturity wise, to be able to do that. So that leads into my question around emotional maturity. Can you talk again a little bit more about that and how the child takes on the role towards the adult? Like, it's almost the adult becomes the child as you get older. If you're not going through this functional relationship, you are now the authority, but you're at one point where the child. So that shift, can you talk about emotional maturity?
Well, so there's a lot of variables here, but one of the things is that it is very inappropriate for a parent to give a child so much power in their formative years as to be responsible for them in any way, shape, or form. And here's a way that we do it where we don't necessarily think that that's what we're doing. But when we make the child responsible for the way that we feel, say that you have a 4-year-old and the 4-year-old throws their peas across the room or something, and now you make the child responsible for your emotional reaction because the child threw the peas, you are empowering that child in a very destructive way when you do that, right? A 4-year-old with the idea that they have the power to control your emotional reaction, that can become extremely destructive. It also become extremely insecure. Because the child is basically, no matter how much a child acts, if a child is acting out, even in a negative way, really, underneath all of it, the child wants to know you're in control. And when you lose control That is an erratic response to the child. The child is no longer feeling safe. The child becomes more confident in the uncertainty that is taking place within the family structure than a sense of certainty and safety. So now the child's got to figure out how to create that for themselves. The only way that any human being can create that for themselves is through the process of manipulation. So we become very good at manipulating people and situations and mold them into patterns that we understand how to deal with. So even when you consider conscious manipulation for what we would call an evil perspective, okay, it really isn't when you get to the truth of it. It is that you have a person who is so dysfunctional that they need to manipulate the world to fit the pattern that they understand how to deal with. And that can be extremely destructive. It could be like, it can go to the worst of the worst, murder, serial killers, rapists, you know, genocidal dictators. Like, it can go to the worst of the worst. But what's underneath of it is a psychological pattern that has become so warped and so twisted that the person does not know how to function outside of that pattern. It is just too frightening for them. That comes through years of systematic abuse. It's not something that's just like, oh, you're crazy one day and now you're a rapist and a murderer or whatever. No. And the only way something like that can show up is through like brain injury or severe illness or something. But for the most of humanity, that's not how these problems show up. These problems show up as the completion of a extremely dysfunctional environment and the repetition of that over a period of time. And the ignorance that we think that we have to be in relationship to it in order for us to be okay. Because that's the big lie, that I have to stay in relationship to something that's toxic for me to be okay. But that's what manipulation does, right? So it's very easy to manipulate someone. We have something that we know very well, like from a psychiatric point of view, it's called Stockholm Syndrome. And Stockholm Syndrome was something that was realized when a bunch of bank robbers took a bunch of people hostage in Stockholm, Sweden. And when the whole thing was over, the people that were taken hostage were defending their kidnappers. And they were like, what? What the hell's going on here? And what they realized was that when you take control over the life and death situation of a person, you can manipulate them to the point where you'll agree with them so much just so that you can stay alive. So it's like life takes over in a way where it supports the dysfunction temporarily in order to continue living. But then that situation or that frame stays within the consciousness of the human mind, and it then proliferates over a period of time. And this is what happens in dysfunctional families, that the child adapts to the situation because the parent has control over the safety of the child. The child learns to develop and adapt to whatever the craziness that's going on within that situation, but then it carries it on into the adult life where now it becomes destructive to themselves. At one time, it kept them safe. It allowed them to survive a very bad situation. Not necessarily healthy, but allowed them to get through it to some degree. And then we find out that it becomes extremely destructive once the child then becomes an adult, and those patterns then begin to replicate. Because if you're abusing me, if I'm the child, you're the adult, and you're abusing me, then once that shifts and I become the adult, I will become the abuser of someone else, and the pattern then replicates on, you know. So, yeah, I mean, the idea is that we recognize when we're in a situation where we're being manipulated, when we're in a situation where people won't respect our boundaries, and then the consideration of how do we want to live our life and what are we going to do to educate ourselves and move ourselves forward. And sometimes we have to end those relationships in order to do so.
Yeah, and a lot of those patterns and behaviors you spoke of, if gone unchecked, they don't just go away. They exacerbate and they magnify and they become worse. So, you know, if you're listening to this and you're in your 20s or 30s, it's going to get a whole lot more difficult in your 40s and 50s because it doesn't go away. It just gets progressively worse. And like I said, what I mean by gone unchecked, if you don't do something about it or go see someone or have conversations around it, the awareness isn't going to be there. And you're just going to perpetually be in this anger, resentment place towards your parents rather than having the frank conversation around it. I think that's important for people to be aware of. So yeah, no, I think that's everything you said was amazing right there. And it just reaffirms the importance of having this conversation. So in the episode, you also talked about the authority complex, if I think I have that right. Could you talk a little bit more about that and how it relates to our lives as humans who had parents?
Well, like unconsciously, there's some part of our brain that knows when we're infants that we have to have the parents to stay alive. So, like genetically in our DNA, we're wired to be dependent upon these people. So you have that. But then we start to psychologically mature or develop, I should say. Develop would probably be a better word for that. And as we psychologically develop into becoming, you know, children, then teenagers, young adults, if that authority is not transferred over to us in bits and pieces so that we develop, we take the authority on for ourselves, and then we, at some point in time, over a period of time, we've taken on all the authority for our life, then we can go out and be able to realize that nobody has authority over us, and we know how to use our authority in a prosperous way in our life, in a healthy way. But when we don't get that, what ends up happening is that the parent stays in authority unconsciously in my mind. And other authority figures usually in the child's life. So that could be teachers, it could be religious authority, it could be social authority, whatever. And then I grow up thinking that I can't do things. I can't be me or do what I want to do in life because nobody's given me permission to do so. The authority figure said that I can't do this or I shouldn't do this or it's wrong to do this or how dare I do this or, you know, whatever negative connotation that they've given me. So there's that we have. And then the idea that I would actually need permission for somebody else to so that I could step out and do something completely different. So we're, number one, we're hardwired for this authority, but we're also hardwired to accept it ourselves if it's actually passed on to us. Because the underlying narrative for this is survival. That's what it is. That's why we will, because if we don't emotionally mature, then we keep the people in authority all of our lives that are there, right? That we just keep that in that place in our mind. If we wake up one day and find out, oh, I'm really making decisions based on whether my mom and dad are think this is right or whether, you know, Mrs. Jones from the third grade thinks that this is right or wrong, or I'm viewing myself through their eyes of a mistake that I made when I was 12 and I was shamed over, or all the kids laughed at me, then we realize in that moment, all those people, those things, those situations, that's what has authority in my mind. Not my individualistic idea of who I am and what I want to create myself to be and where I want to go. So we can take that back. The struggle that we have in that moment, though, is that usually we're suffering from some kind of a low self-image or self-esteem at that point. So what we'll do is we'll be like, but if my mom and dad didn't even think that good of me, if Mrs. Jones in the third grade thought I was a piece of shit, then what's to say that I'm not? So we need to bring in a higher truth that overrides that. And that's, I think this is one of the things that spirituality and religion does really, really well, is that it brings that separation of authority in from a place of authority. So, and it does it in a way where it basically says that, you know, you're created out of God's love and God has a purpose for your life and that, you know, you need to be obedient to God. And basically, if you read the scriptures correctly, it's about freedom. It's about positivity. It's about, you know, developing a relationship with your higher self and then going out and living that way. But cutting the strings, those authority strings from anybody else in your life that had authority over you in a negative way.
Okay, so to put a bow on this episode here, so for someone who thinks linearly like myself, it's not one of my greatest gifts, but I manage, can you provide just some brief how-tos once again to break up with your parents? Because I assume there's a way or there's some steps that you can follow to do so that is a constructive manner that doesn't necessarily destroy the relationship and burn it to the ground, but it does allow you to say, look, this is where I'm at and this is what I want to do. Just a brief little hit there.
Yeah. So I think the shift is this. We didn't come from our parents. We came through them. We came from God. So again, I'm beating this like a dead horse. At some point, I just need to stop saying this. If you've listened to my podcast long enough, I don't care what religion you are. There's some higher authority out there. There's an intelligence beyond just ourselves, okay? So you can come from whatever perspective you want. But the idea is that there's this higher intelligence that you came into the world from, but we came through something physical. So, you know, a rose comes through the fertilization of another flower, right? Two rabbits get together and they have a bunny. Two human beings get together, they have a child. But the spirit of that child comes from the universe, comes from God. And that is the authority that put us here with a purpose. We just happen to come through this vessel. So if we realign it in our mind, what do we really need to be obedient to? We were obedient to our parents when they were in charge of our upbringing. But for the direction of our life, we need to be obedient to what we believe in as far as God or higher purpose of why we're here. And I even when I talk to people who are atheists, they do believe, like they'll phrase it differently, but they believe that there is some purpose for their life. They'll deny the existence of a God or whatever, which is fine for them. But then it's like, well, then just put your higher self in that authority, right? Like there is, you feel like you have a purpose in your life. That is your authority. That is the higher side of yourself. Your parents are no longer in authority. If we needed our parents to be in authority for the rest of our lives, our parents would never die and they would stay in that position and we would be under them forever, but we're not. You know, that's why at, you know, 20 or 18 or 20 or whatever, we break free, we're adults, and we can make decisions on our own, and then we have to start that growth process of our independence from that point forward. But the independence was supposed to be gradually given to us. Unfortunately, it's not. So in order to make sense of this, we have to realize that our parents are like temporary parents until we can actually stand in the authority of why we're here to begin with.
That's great. Very well said. So if you enjoyed this particular episode, How to Break Up with Your Parents, there's a couple more that we have in David's archive that definitely would be worth a look. I'd encourage you to go back and listen to episode 177, which you titled Setting Healthy Boundaries, which is in line with this episode. And then also another one, episode 85, Transcending Childhood Stories. Get a really interesting conversation around, breaking free of those patterns that were given to you by your parents. So those are two very good episodes you can go back to and listen to that'll hopefully give you everything you need. So this has been an excellent episode. Not always easy to talk about this, but once again, essential and important on the journey.
So, growing up.
Absolutely it is. So thanks for coming inside, David.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.